Many of you know that St. Luke was a physician, and he must have been a very good one at that, as he pays very close attention to detail. You see this throughout his writings in the Gospel and, of course, in the Acts of the Apostles, and he's telling us very specifically what was taking place at the time that Jesus made his appearance. We know about who the Roman governor was of Judea and of Palestine. We know who the Roman emperor was of the entire empire. And we also know who the different leaders and governors were over the different sections of Palestine. But he is telling us that Christ came at a particular time to a particular place for a particular people and a particular purpose. He came at that time in history to the Jewish people, as it was prophesied from which the Messiah would come. But from them, a cry would go out to the entire world to prepare the way of the Lord. The apostles being sent out to all corners of the earth to proclaim the gospel and to preach Christ as the one Savior and Messiah. It all begins with John the Baptist, the last of the prophets who closes the Old Testament and begins the New. And he's in the desert, reminding us of the 40 years that God's Israelite people wandered in the desert, with whom he made his first covenant. John is there, the Jordan River, the same river that was crossed by the Israelites as they came to the Promised Land, and so showing that there's a new Promised Land ahead, that of heaven for all of us, the new people of God in Christ. We too cross over Jordan into the Promised Land through baptism, made citizens of heaven, brothers and sisters of Christ, sons and daughters of God. But with John, we too cry out to the entire world. As John's preparing the first coming of Christ, we prepare his second, by opening up our own hearts, our minds, our lives, preparing the way of the Lord, making a path straight, filling up the valleys of our own despair and our sorrow, lowering down the mountains of our pride, that the winding roads of sin and deception might be made straight and the rough ways of our lives made smooth, so that in us all flesh could see the salvation that comes from God. St. Paul reminds the Philippians, as he tells them in his letter, that he is praying for them constantly. And of course, as Christians believing in the intercession of the saints, we know that St. Paul continues to pray for us as he did for them, as he says, "My prayer for you is this, that your love may increase ever more and more, that our love for God may deepen and increase, our love for one another, obviously, deepen and increase, that we would have knowledge in every kind of perception to discern what is of value, that we will use our minds to see things as God sees them, always pursuing the things that are of eternal value, the things that help us to be better Christians and better people, and pushing aside those things that keep us from being more and more like Christ, that we can be pure and blameless for the day when Christ returns. He may find us filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through He Himself for the praise and glory of God." Yesterday, the church was celebrating the feast of Mary's Immaculate Conception. And if you made the Mass here, you heard in the homily that Mary herself becomes an image of the church united to Christ and made perfect for her as a bride is prepared and given to her beloved, that we are to be given to Christ without stain and the purity of innocence. We, as members of Christ's body, were born, as I said, or regenerated through the waters of baptism in a supernatural way, but we were born in a natural way as sinners. Sinners into a world that has been damaged by the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve, which has left us pretty well wrecked in so many ways. While there is indeed a lot of good in the world, we know that the good that we experience can very quickly come to an end. We endure sad things connected to death, like sickness or accidents, the willful crime of others or the sins that we ourselves commit, all these things causing pain and hurt, and of course, all these things culminate in death itself, the fruit of sin, all the fruit of sin along with our human weaknesses and limitations. Christ Jesus came to free us from sin. And he came to change the curse of sin, that is, its effects, and to make it something new and something life-giving. Our way with Christ is to participate in his suffering for the world's redemption as well as our own. Being baptized into Christ, as St. Paul says, we're baptized into his death And so while suffering in this world, we also suffer with the hope of resurrection, that our sufferings mean something. It's an act of redemption. Redemption for the world, as well as our own redemption. So whether we suffer any kind of pain or discomfort, whether we suffer embarrassment or shame, and whether these things come from without or from within, we transform these things by making them an act of prayer and adoration, an act of praise, accepting all things as being willed by God as a gift from us, or at least permitted by God as a gift, given to us and made as an offering of sacrifice and praise. Not that we have to go looking for or causing these bad things to happen, but to accept them as they are, to accept them as they come, and to work them out as best we can. It is, as St. Paul says, to be content with weakness in order that the strength of Christ might be ours, that is, to prepare the way of the Lord. Many great things depend on whether or not you and I live as God wants us to live. Oftentimes we think, well, if I'd have been born maybe in a different place, at a different time, amongst different people. But as I said, God works out the details. We are born into a particular place at a particular time for God's own particular reasons. We find ourselves where we are because God wills us to be here. But as such, he wants us to be an image of his Son. He wants us to be representatives of Christ. Christ has come the first time in the flesh. We represent Christ in the flesh until his coming again. So the question is, do we bring the people around us closer to God, or do we bring them further from God? Do we give a good example in the way that we carry ourselves each day, at work, at home, at school, at recreation, among our families, our social circles, wherever we find ourselves? Are we embarrassed to be faithful to Christ? Are we embarrassed to be faithful to his church? Are we embarrassed to live out our Catholic faith in public? And if so, why? Remember what Jesus says, "If anyone would be ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of him or her before my Father in heaven," that is, at our own judgment. Never be ashamed of Christ. Let your love increase for him and for one another more and more. Be discerning in knowledge. Ask the Lord for wisdom, that your perception can be that of God's, to discern what is of value, what is truly good, truly holy, and eternal. Always seek the good, to do the good, to be good, pure and blameless for the day of Christ, to be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ for the praise and glory of God our Father. Believe and live this faith fully. Be a messenger of the salvation that comes only from the heart of Christ. Let all flesh see in you the salvation of God, and prepare the way of the Lord.